Greetings, citizens of Earth. You are barking a happy tune with my pal Smurf of Smurf and the Magic Tones on 5280 Geek.
Live from the Figgis Studios, it is Weekend Geek Update. Smurf here, whittling away the days, the months, the hours. I don't even know what month it is at the moment. I know that I had a birthday. I know that it's getting warmer, but it's like weird because it rains, it's cold. I saw snow in the East Coast's weather. I'm like, what the hell? I mean, next thing, cats and dogs living together, you know, real Wrath of God type stuff. It is wild, and things are happening fast. Things are evolving and opening up. So we're here to help explain it to you. We are sponsored by Suzy Q's, which is an amazing jeweler. She creates, it's art that you can wear. It's the best way to explain it. It is intricate. It is stunning. It makes you pause to just look at the intricacy and the beauty that go into every piece. Suzy, I've known for a number of years, and I've seen just, I'm stunned at every time I see something new that she produces. So thankfully, she is sponsoring the podcast. In addition to that, she is offering a 15% discount off of any order of $15 or more if you use the code 5280geek in your checkout, and you should be good to go. This will only last till the end of May. So move quickly. If there's something you've been kind of on the fence about, you're not sure, this is now the perfect time to jump in and get something. Because Red loves her earrings that she picked up from Suzy a couple cons ago. Suzy usually does the con circuit, just like us, just like a lot of people out there. And she generates a lot of her revenue from doing cons. Because, let's face it, jewelry is a little difficult to purchase online or just looking at it, because pictures, it's something else when you're sitting there and you can hold it and you can look at it. Go to the webpage, the link is in the posting, and you can check out her work. It is really good. It's very stunning. You will not be disappointed. I can guarantee you that. And people will stop and notice, which is what we all want, don't we? Because that's what we want, everyone to notice our jewelry. So get on there, click on the link. Get your 15% discount on any purchases for $15 or more. 5280 Geek. We sent you. Go check him out. Anyway, moving along. Dude, oh my God. So, I don't know if you're aware of this, but Green Lantern turned 80 years old. Wow. Sorry, I know no one really cares. And if I'm sure Red and Private Cheeseburger were here, they would immediately say, don't care. Just because that horrible Ryan Reynolds film, it's still looming out there. It is just, it's like breathing on the neck and souls of Green Lantern enthusiasts. Of course, Green Lantern is my number one character for DC. He is the first character I started reading. I actually started reading him before Batman. And rightfully so, in my opinion. I'm sure there's a lot of Batman fans and Superman fans and everyone else out there that would disagree with me. But I've always had a thing for Green Lantern. I think having a power ring would be the ultimate weapon, power, thing. It's awesome. Anyway, 80 years... And he's holding in there strong. We'll see what happens. If he'll ever get a show, there were things that kind of were hinted at the final episode of Arrow, and we'll see. I mean, we may get him in a show, we may not, and that's fine. I'm not expecting it. It would be so heavy CG relied upon. I don't think it's practical. on a regular, you know, TV show like the CW and all of that, it would just be too time consuming and too much money. With that said, though, Flash ended this week. And good season finale. Season 6 was good. We had Crisis on Infinite Earths. But the one takeaway that I had from the show this week, and from the season, especially this week, was Atlantis. Was mentioned multiple times this season. So I'm honestly thinking that if the writers of The Flash, since, you know, they had to cut everything short by, you know, a few episodes, they should be bringing in Aquaman. I mean, this is kind of a no-brainer. You're going to Atlantis, and you're not going to run into the king of Atlantis, Aquaman. I mean, that's his home. That's the home turf for the king. I mean, I don't think we need to really get into too much of his backstory, but I mean, to just kind of introduce him, and with all of the Earths being, you know, kind of squished together, It only makes sense that now it's here when it was probably on, you know, another Earth, you know, Earth 2 or whatever. I mean, who cares what Earth it was on? Here's a chance. Here's an opportunity. And if done well, this would be kind of cool to see. It would be unprecedented at this point, because I'm back in the day when Smallville was going on, there was always the hint of them doing an Aquaman series. They had the guy that ended up playing Oliver Queen from Smallville do a trailer or do a preview of the Aquaman series, which never got any lift. It was just kind of like eh. And I think that's where you run into a problem with some of these. The backstory and how you get people hooked is you lose them. So I think if you just throw everybody into the deep end, literally, you might, you know, I think this would be kind of fun, because now there's this whole new world that, you know, we don't need a whole lot of backstory to. We kind of, you know, there's enough legend and rumor and stuff like that that could fill in our imagination and just take it at face value. I mean, it's like, you know, going to Kansas. You know, you kind of know it's flat already. You don't need, you know, the history of Kansas to understand why it's flat. It's there. It just take it for what it is. So I think that if they do this right, we could see Aquaman finally appear in the Arrowverse. We kind of got a Batman, and we do have a Bruce Wayne now. With the last episode of Batwoman this week, no spoilers, but very, very interesting, very well done. I applaud what they did for Batwoman for season one. That said, this week, Stargirl is going to premiere after Legends of Tomorrow, or no, before Legends of Tomorrow, filling in the Flash spot. And I'm on the fence. I really don't care about the character, and everyone is saying this is great. I know it's already kind of snuck out on the DC Direct, and everyone's saying it's great, and I'm hoping it is. I want to just see the Justice Society. That's a key point for me. I'm curious to see kind of the older heroes. I know we get an older Flash, so we get Jay again. I don't know if they brought someone else new to play, you know, Jay Garrick. I'd hope they wouldn't. That would be disappointing to me. But with that said, I'll probably do a review on Stargirl, just because it's something new from the DC world. I didn't do Batgirl, just because I really just wanted to dive in, and how that came out with Crisis and all of that. It was a little jarring, and I didn't want to get into it. But Stargirl, I have fears that they may end up doing what I'm starting to see as a trend with shows, and I hope that the CW avoids it. I'm not going to go into it, because I just want to see if I'm right or I'm wrong. Because if they start doing it, then I'm immediately going to explain why. And if they avoid the pitfall, then even better. But I don't know. I have a fear, because the shows are kind of falling into this same routine, the same formula, and there are aspects of it that I don't care for. I'm just like, eh. It shouldn't be a plot point. It just annoys me. Anyway, so Stargirl Tuesday today.
depending upon when you get this, we'll be talking about it. Masked Singer, of course, your season finale is tomorrow, Wednesday. Can't wait. Holy crap. You know, I don't know who's going to take it. I really don't. And most likely it's probably, God, I hope we get a female winner for a change. That would be nice. With the Night Angel, but most likely it's probably going to be Frog. It's anyone's guess who they are under there now. No spoilers. No predictions from me. My money says it's going to probably be Frog because he's... I can't believe I'm going to say this. He's the total package. yeah, Frog legs and all. He's going to be out there dancing, singing, hopping around. It should be entertaining. It looks like it will be a nice send-off for the series. Not the series, for the season, excuse me. And... yeah, we'll see. We'll see how it goes. Send me your thoughts. Send me your guesses. Who do you think is in the suit? Who do you want to see under the suit? Next season, I'm sure they're going to up the game even more to see what they got. I mean, Wayne Brady finally just got his statue from winning last season, so that was kind of cool to see him in the after hours. But, yeah, so let me know what your thoughts are. We'll see. What else is going on? On a local front, I wanted to bring this up just because we know everyone over at the Clock Tower Cabaret. It's an amazing night out, but with everything going on, the Clock Tower has been shut down for obvious reasons. And I love the Clock Tower for a number of sentimental reasons and attachments, but going to the Clock Tower and right there off of 16th Street Mall in downtown Denver, it's great. And the cabaret show is hilarious. They put a lot of time, effort, and time of production into the show. And it's fun. You walk out feeling better and lighter and laughing and you know, a little naughty because Dirty Perrier is there to help, you know, move the show along. But it is completely entertaining. And with them being shut down, of course, no cabaret. But this Wednesday, they are doing a streaming event from the Clock Tower. They are going to be doing it at 8 p.m. this Wednesday, Mountain Standard Time. So depending upon where you're watching this, be sure to click on, I'll put on there. But they've got the Rock the Clock as one of the hashtags. And, of course, Save the Clock Tower, which I think is great. A huge reference to Back to the Future. Save the Clock Tower! And it fits. So, yeah, by all means, please do not miss this. Get in there. Watch this, because I think it's a Wednesday night. What are you going to be doing? Nothing. And if you're not watching, well, Masked Singer is over by 8. So, if you're local, yeah, it's not going to matter, because... You've already watched everything you're going to watch. And, of course, you know, I've been to the Clock Tower a couple times. It's fun. It has this off-Broadway kind of feel, like 1920s style speakeasy. It's just an amazing experience, and I want to see the Clock Tower come back better, stronger than ever, and hopefully we'll see kind of around the Clock Tower. I don't know what they have planned. I haven't talked to them that much to know what they've got planned and what they're going to be doing or what the acts are going to be like, but definitely I'm not going to miss a chance to get in on this one, so neither should you. Anyway, moving on. What else we got going on? Oh, this landed last week, and I felt bad for missing it. Sorry, coffee. I felt bad for missing this, and I'm surprised that I forgot about it, literally. Just completely spaced out. Because we've talked about this multiple times on the podcast. Joe Maganella. I always fuck his name up. Sorry. You know, the big burly dude who is from True Blood. Played the vampire. Joe Manganiello. There we go. Knew I'd get his name right if I just powered through. Big D&D fan. Everybody knows about his campaign. It's legendary. And everybody, who's anybody, I guess, who's in the world of D&D, unless, of course, you're Vin Diesel, has been in the campaign, who has played. And, of course, he's got his own line, Death Saves, that he does, the t-shirts, and it's kind of cool. I haven't ordered one of the t-shirts. I'm hoping that, actually, I wouldn't come across it at a con, but I think I'm going to actually just have to break down, go and buy it online, and hope for the best. I'm always like doing the t-shirts in person, so anyway. But back to the point. He's done a lot of campaigns with celebrities and people that are in the world of Dungeons & Dragons, and I'd love to be part of his campaign. But now, through Wizards of the Coast and Omaze, and working in conjunction with the Make-A-Wish Foundation, you can donate $25 and get entered into a chance to win a trip to Seattle to play with Joe. And I've already made my donation. It's at omaze.com/Joe. And hell, $25 for Make-A-Wish, which, you know, something we would do anyway as Colorado Ghostbusters. We raise money and, you know, make multiple donations to worthy causes and charities. This is just keeping in stride with that. So, $25 and a chance to play D&D. I mean, I know I've got character sheets for days from the old days of playing with my crew and my friends from the comic book shop days. So to sit down and have a chance to play with Joe, even the trailer, holy crap. So he's going on about the rules and all of this as far as how it breaks down. And he's sitting there with his Dungeon Master screen up. You know, it looks like it's probably shot in his basement, because he's turned his whole lower basement into like a meeting hall, as you would go to Asgard and Valhalla to have dinner. And it's this huge table, axes on the walls, candles, it's beautiful. And he's sitting there and he's doing rolls to see how the story progresses. The man's an incredible storyteller, and he really gets into this. I want to be on the damn team. I want to play. Can I play? I'm waving my hand over my head vigorously. I want to play. Make a donation. You do get to take somebody with you. So by chance, anyone listening does win, and you want a plucky sidekick, I will be your plucky sidekick for a weekend. There's a perk. Me as your sidekick? Wow. That might be a little bit more than anyone can handle. Coffee. So yeah, go check that out. I just want to play. That's all I really want to do. I don't even care about meeting any celebrities that may be there, because I'm sure he's going to have his fair share of his friends that come and play with him. I just want to play with Joe. I really don't care. Let him DM. That'd be great. What else did I see out there? Oh, someone sent this to me, and I kind of laughed, because it's actually fan art. There was a thing that was circulating this week, Superman versus Black Adam, and it's Henry Cavill, of course, Superman, and Dwayne Johnson in his projected role as Black Adam. Someone took this as real. It's actually an amazing fan art rendition. It completely captured the likeness of Dwayne Johnson and Henry Cavill. And someone thought it was promotional artwork, so they sent it to me, or the promo for a film, thinking that this is kind of like a, hey, look, Henry Cavill is still in the DCU for movies. Unfortunately, not the case. It's an incredible rendition, and I, above anybody else, would love to see Black Adam face off against the Man of Steel. I'm totally for that. Just because, love Black Adam. It's like one of the few first appearances that I don't have in my collection, that I've missed out twice now on picking that book up, which is a story all in itself. But to see those two face off would be humongously huge for any kind of fanboy. Just because of how they've designed, and I guess it would depend on how they portray the Black Adam. in the movie, if they really do take a page from the comic book and how they the stylings of him. And of course Henry Cavill can do no wrong in my mind. The man is just amazing. He's a great guy, hardworking, and I love his acting. The Witcher, you know, even this is before The Witcher, because I loved him in The Man from Uncle. He was great. Unfortunately, I didn't see him in the Mission Impossible, just because of, you know, who's in that. But all about Henry Cavill, all about those two guys. Dwayne Johnson, of course, being Black Adam. He is saying that this is still going to happen, that we will see him as Black Adam in an upcoming film, whether it be Shazam 2 or it's his own movie, which would be kind of strange. I mean, I guess I can see it now because they are kind of breaking that wall down, that barrier of doing films that are villain-focused. You have The Joker, which was a runaway hit. Venom, which a lot of fans didn't care for, but still in Sony's mind came across as a win. So we're starting to see it a little bit more and more as the tropes break down and people are looking for new content and original stories and just something a little different. So maybe we'll see it. I want to, but just because I want it doesn't mean it always is going to happen. In other news, something that I am hesitant to talk about. I have talked about this before, and I keep watching with bated breath, eager anticipation, and just a childlike enthusiasm just to see if it happens. The New Mutants, which we've talked about, the X-Men curse lives on. They got a new release date. For 2020. August 2020, no less. They're following through with this, saying that it is going to be coming out. I'm hesitant to say that this is really going to happen, but we all know because of everything that happened and the theater shutting down and all of that. But they're saying August 28th is going to be the release date. Okay. But as we sit here watching theaters now declare bankruptcy, I know there is a Alamo Drafthouse in Texas that declared bankruptcy. AMC is in its final stages. I'm fearful for the cinematic universe, which we've already talked about. I'm not going to bore you with it. But to hold to this, I'm expecting something to come up and just say, yeah, we can't. We're not going to distribute. There's no theaters open to distribute to. Which is sad, because I really want to see this. The New Mutants, which originally, you know, got kind of billed as a horror, and just how the trailer worked and how all of this put together was creepy as hell. The characters are relatable, and it kind of reminded me of like Captain America Winter Soldier, where it's a great spy film. It has all of the perfect elements and things are set up right, but then you add superheroes to the mix and it just kind of just topped off the whole story. It made it that much more engaging and entertaining and gave you a little bit bigger case of the feels. New Mutants, I think, could do that. It takes a lot of what we know and what we've appreciated from mutants, from the comics, from the characters at different points, and throw them into a new kind of suspense horror side. I know Doctor Strange is another one that we're going to see hopefully evolve into that area. And that's still too early to tell how that's going to turn out. And I have my reservations on that after the director. But, I mean, that could still neither here or there. With New Mutants still carrying the X-Men curse, Will it happen? I would like to see it. I don't want it to see go straight to video. I know a lot of people have weighed in on the Scoob movie that went direct to video this week.
The reviews have been kind of 50-50. I know a few people on our team, Private Cheeseburger, Double A Ron, was one of them, saying it was just really busy and felt more of like a superhero film, which I don't think that's what Scooby-Doo is. It does kind of remind me, when I saw the lineup, it reminded me of like the old days when Scooby-Doo would always have like a guest appearance, whether it be Batman and Robin, or, you know, Vincent Price, or, you know, it just kind of always depended. They always had some celebrity come on and help them solve the mystery. So I'm curious to see. I haven't watched it. I'm waiting. I don't want to pay for it. Let's be honest. There's other things that I'm going to pay for, which I was hugely disappointed in Red Son, which is DC's direct-to-video adaptation of the comic book series. That was kind of a letdown. However, Justice League Dark Apocalypse War, totally worth it. Holy crap. That is a lot of death. That is a lot of frickin' mayhem. And so worth the money. If you're kind of going back and forth, I would wait till Red Son is actually available on one of the streaming services. It's only a matter of time. I'm sure it'll show up on DC's streaming service for free. And I usually don't say this, but the comic book was better on that one. It was kind of strange. But Justice League Dark is not pulling from any material. It's an original story, and it is great. I apologize to Aquaman fans now. And of course, oh my God, my boy Tony Todd is in it. He is the voice of Darkseid. And I was so like badass. If there's any person that can voice that character, it is totally Tony Todd. The Candyman lives on. I'm telling you, scary as fuck. Anyway, back to New Mutants, as I totally went off on a tangent on that. We'll see. If it comes out, I know everyone is trying to push the skipping the theatrical release and going straight on to Amazon, or maybe Disney, just, you know, since they have the rights to it now and it's their baby. Theoretically, we could see it on Disney Plus and them kind of do what they did with their other film. Again, give me your thoughts. I know where I'm sitting on this. Maybe you can sway me one way or the other. I want to see it in the theaters. Personally, just wait. You're not really losing anything on this at this point, because you've pushed it off for so long. What's a little bit longer? Don't be too impatient. Just kind of like what your parents would tell you. Be patient. You're not losing anything. Maybe a nap. It's time for a nap, Disney. Maybe. Speaking of naps, the only other thing that was kind of jarring for me was the Deadpool story that broke, and they're concerned that we won't see a Deadpool 3. And I guess that, and it's still a rumor, and this is also coming out of Rob Liefeld, but they haven't really said anything about the third Deadpool installment, story, characters, any of it. And I know that they're saying that we're going to see it again soon, but as it sits right now, and Rob Liefeld being one of them, because he is the creator of Deadpool, saying that it's not going to happen. We're not going to see another Deadpool, which would be kind of sad. I mean, definitely a hit, definitely more of what we wanted than I think anyone thought possible. And Ryan Reynolds as Deadpool is great. I mean, it's absolutely perfect. So we'll see. I'll keep an eye on that, because I don't see it happening. I really don't. There's no reason why Disney would just turn their back on money. This is Disney. I mean, there's no way. I know they have plenty of franchises. They're not Sony. They're not Klon to just get their hands on something that they can ride into the ground. Disney's got plenty of things to pick from. So, but still, to leave that kind of money out there, I don't see Disney doing that.
Anyway, moving on. Let's go on to the streaming side of life. As the big news so far this week, Umbrella Academy 2 season premiere date revealed. Not to mention the date, but an incredible freaking trailer. An incredible the way of everybody in isolation in their homes dancing to I Think We're Alone Now is awesome. It, of course, totally takes away from the scene in the movie or in the series where they're all in their rooms dancing and to great hits. But holy crap, such a good trailer. And of course, the date that everybody is now huge red numbers on the calendar, July 31st, end of summer, unfortunately, but it's so worth the wait. Umbrella Academy, in my mind. See, and here's, actually, you know, no. Umbrella Academy, for what it was, is probably the best Netflix series for last year, in my mind. I know Lock and Key is in there, and it's really hard to put the two against each other just because they're such different genres, but I really think what Netflix delivered on Umbrella Academy, unexpected, unparalleled, and you can't compare it with anything else. It's amazing how they adapted the story from Dark Horse Comics. And it's great. But to see the trailer, you got Ellen Page, Tom Hopper, David Castaneda, Robert Shannon, and I can't remember the rest of, I saw Mary J. Blige. I can't remember the rest of the names. Are all in there, in their street clothes, just doing their own dance. It's great. Ellen Page is just, I don't know how to take Ellen Page sometimes. She is just so uniquely awkward that it's fun to just watch her. It's fun. I'll put a link up for the trailer. I was going to do it yesterday, but instead we went with the moment of geek with Jason Momoa throwing axes. The no-look Huck is what he called it. Check out the page because he totally whiffs the first one. I mean, just like right into a tent. I was waiting to hear someone in the background just, you know, just let out that one patented scream that you hear from stormtroopers or they get dropped off a rock cliff in the animated series. It's perfect. But Umbrella Academy, if you didn't watch the first season, you're missing out. It is uniquely dark, very, very, I don't want to say twisted because it's not really twisted, but it does have kind of some interesting undertones. And I've watched it twice now, and it's still worth it. I know I'll watch it again one more time just as we approach the July 31st release date, just so it's fresh in my mind. But all the characters are great. You feel connections to each one for different reasons, and all of it is perfect. So check it out. And if you even want, the comic book series is unique. It is, it's kind of, well, I'm not even going to wreck the comic book. Read the comic. If you're into comics, by all means, please. I know it's available in trade. The first series is spectacular. The first collected. Check it. The art is all its own. So July 31st will be the date that I already on the calendar. Like I said, big red numbers. Totally want this. I'm curious where they're going to pick up though. Just because of how it ended, and I mean that's half the fun of okay, where are we picking up? And the other killer for this was the soundtrack. Absolutely loved the soundtrack. It's right up there with like Guardians of the Galaxy of how well the soundtrack fit the show, the scenes, the movement, everything just meshed so well. And the feels, all of that, it worked so well. So my hat's off to you. Of course, we won't see October Faction. That did get canceled, unfortunately. So now it's just down to Lock and Key and Umbrella Academy. We'll see who makes it the longest at this point. Netflix? Assholes. What else? Oh, in other. Woohoo! It's like every week, speaking of Disney, there's more Mandalorian news. So not only did we announce Katie Sackhoff joining the team, and she's, you know, now in the Mandalorian lineup. Of course, she's been voicing one of the characters in Clone Wars and in Rebels. So that is Bo-Katan. Katan? Yeah. She's been doing the voice for that. And, of course, Rosario Dawson. She's going to be playing Ahsoka. And then, of course, last week, Temuera Morrison, who is in the Clone Wars, who's Jango Fett. He plays, of course, a lot of the clones. Is supposed to be coming back as Boba Fett. So now we get this announcement from DC. Not DC. From Disney, saying one of the best words I've ever heard. Timothy Olyphant. I love this guy. Not only from his days playing that. Now I just lost it in my head. I'll get it as soon as I remember. Or Deadwood. God, holy shit, total brain fart. Totally plays the sheriff in Deadwood. Loved him in that. And then he's in Justified, which Red got me hooked on watching. And even better, but Timothy Olyphant is I think, a national treasure. The man is just, he's just pleasant as pie. He's donning the Boba Fett outfit. He's gonna be in the armor. So I'm curious how this is going to work, especially when last week Temuera, we announced, is coming back to the franchise to play Boba Fett, which raises some very interesting theories, and I'm going to join in on the fan theories right now, because I did read this series back in the day. So it was right around 2015. There was a novel that came out that dealt directly with what happened to Boba Fett. The story basically read that this slave ended up buying Boba Fett's armor from a bazaar, that the Jawas somehow went, scavenged what was left at the Sarlacc pit, that, you know, they, after they blew up Jabba's sail barge, and ended up the bounty hunter's armor ended up being restored by the Jawas. So I'm curious if they're going to follow this, because the novel's really good. And this is early, you know, on in Cobb Vanth. Yes, Cobb Vanth is the human slave, and he's actually from Tatooine. So he basically rises up through, you know, trials, tribulations, of course, gets Boba Fett's armor, and then right away everyone thinks that he's Boba Fett, and why wouldn't you? How are you going to get his armor off of him? Nobody knows what happened, that he got dumped into the pit. So the Aftermath novel, and then there are two spin-off novels from this, Life Debt and Empire's End, that continue this story after Jedi. So it's worth a read, and I'm curious if they're going to do this. So if Timothy Olyphant is going to be in Boba Fett's armor, is he Boba Fett? Or is he Vanth? Or is it the other way around? Will we, what, you know, the one thing with Jon Favreau is we know that we can't rely on, normal means of deduction, the simple things that you would take for granted or think, of course, this makes sense. No. He's too smart for that. He's too smart for us. Much too smart. So I'm, and maybe somehow this is a twist of fate. Maybe Oliphant inherits Fett's armor. You know, this is the way. There's a lot of things that are still out there in the way of Mandalore and how it's their religion, and maybe this is how they pass it on. Since Boba Fett doesn't have a son, maybe this is someone that took care of Fett. Who knows? I mean, in Temuera, I know he's not, like, you know, over the hill by any means, but I mean, he's no spring chicken. He's no, you know, young bounty hunter at this point. So maybe, I mean, it just, there's so many different ways that this can go, and I'm excited to see. Don't get me wrong, totally on board for this. The Mandalorian, every week, new news, and I know Red doesn't want to know. I told her, because she's a huge Timothy Oliphant fan. Huge. Like I said, she's the one that got me on to Justified. So whether or not she doesn't want to know. She's all like, yeah, it's at this point, I don't want any spoilers. And I'm like, all right, fine. So I'll just share it with you, and we'll go from there. Let's see what happens next. Can't wait what next week's Mandalorian news is going to be. Can they shock us? They're still saying that October to expect to see the Mandalorian. So maybe they got a lot of stuff in the can that they can keep, you know, doing, adding the special effects and all of that and just power through. We'll see. But Disney is not saying that there will be a delay. So October, we'll see. What else? In streaming news, we also have Star Trek from the CBS All Access side. They have officially announced now. This is by CBS. This isn't rumors. This isn't anything like that. This is directly from CBS that Captain Pike is going to continue in a Star Trek series called Strange New Worlds. And this is going to be available on the ABC All Access streaming side. So Discovery is a huge hit, much more of a hit than I think anyone really thought it was going to be. I've watched it, and I, like a lot of people, and you've heard my conversations with Brett Leader 1 on this multiple times, that, you know what, it's the right Star Trek for right now. And it works. It's great. Picard was a huge, huge hit. So good. That now, is the bar too high? The thing with this Captain Pike's New Worlds series, or Strange New Worlds, is, I think, perfect. This is all before Kirk takes over the Enterprise. It's all the established characters that we've seen with Rebecca Romijn as number one. We also are going to get I can't think of his name. I think it's, anyway, the guy that's playing Spock is also going to be coming back and reprising his role. And of course, Anson Mount, who I think, you know what, I loved the way he portrayed Pike. I think his delivery and how he engaged people was great, and I he's exactly what I imagined Pike to be like. So and especially for a character that we barely get a glimpse into in the old series, and it just seems like there was so much more left to tell in that story. And then of course, when you're watching Discovery, how that all breaks down in the visit back to the world that he eventually ends up at. We know how the story ends, but to see how we get there, I think, is going to be exciting, and there's so much more to tell. And we don't know how much time that there is between Pike's run as captain and when Kirk takes over. We already got, you know, the Enterprise that we've all come to love and grow up with, so this is really good. Ethan Peck, there we go. Knew it would come back to me. He's also coming back as Spock, which I think is kind of crucial to the storytelling. We get we get a much more inferior Spock to what we're used to. And I think it works really well. Spock isn't as sure of himself and isn't as confident as we've come to appreciate and to see in a lot of the films and the stories and the series. So to see this kind of aspect of Spock, I'm kind of digging on. So as he expands on his abilities and character, we get some classic Trek. And trust me, because we need some classic Trek. This is right. And now we have the technology. We have the special effects. Each one you watch is kind of like a mini movie. CBS is not spared any money on the production of this thing. And with Discovery ending the way it did, spoilers, they're in the future. We're not back in classic Trek territory anymore. Discovery blew by that a long time ago. So to explore the classic Trek world with current special effects, and I think the possibilities are tremendous. So this could be really, really good. As far as information on what this is going to be and how this is going to break down, they have not actually said when this is going to debut. They've just given the green light, so they're probably in the early throes of production and casting, so I'm sure there will be more stuff as this works up, breaks down, and comes to light. But just to see the story alone, I was just excited. I'm also excited to see Discovery come back. I think should be soon. I don't remember the date on that one. What else we got? Moving along, comic books. Dun dun dun. Is weird, totally out of whack. New Book Wednesday is still New Book Wednesday if you're a Marvel fan. Today, DC landed as they work out their woes on distribution. It's I'm sure they'll get the bugs worked out. But if you're a fan, you can go get some DC books. A lot of reprints this week. Nothing spectacular, in my opinion, so I didn't really do a top five. It's hard to do a top five when it's just one publisher and there's three books. So there is a second print on the Batman 89, which is a hot book. Hot! Just because of the last panel, of course, they lead to the new character Punchline, the damsel in distress that is replacing Harlequin as Joker's main squeeze. There is going to be a face-off coming up on that storyline. As far as when, I don't know. Of course, as you know, comic books get back to normal, we'll have dates and all of that reset. But definitely, if you want to just read the story, which is that whole storyline from beginning to end, was probably one of the best Batman storylines in a long time since I don't want to say Court of Owls, but it ranks up there with me for that. It was really well done. There's sure, of course, a couple fall down spots, but all in all, great story, great twist. Didn't see it coming. And of course, you get the introduction to Punchline. Batman 89. If you just want to read it, now's the time because it's the second print. And I think the first print is shot up and dropped down and shot back up again. So if you can find it, it's I think averaging right around 40, 50 bucks right now. Which a little high in my mind for a recently released comic, but that's how it goes. It'll come back down if you're a collector. Also in comic book news, Kevin Smith and a lot of other comic book shops have been pushing the back the comeback movement. It is basically you can go buy this T-shirt that says back the movement. Or back the comeback, and it's really cool because it's the comics code seal, and it says back the comeback, and the money that's raised from the T-shirt sales are going to benefit comic shops and a couple of other funds that are going on right now to try and help comic shops, collectibles stay afloat as they're coming back to get their legs underneath them. Of course, Jim Lee has been hard at work doing his sketches. A couple of other people have joined the fray with that to help donate their sketches, like I reported last week with Mark Silvestri, you know, being part of it now too. It's great. There is, I think you can go, I think actually if you just go to backthecomeback.com, you can pick up the t-shirt fairly inexpensive. It's the cost of a t-shirt. Something unique, and I don't think I own anything that has the comic book seal of approval on it, so I'll probably, as soon as I finish the podcast, I'm going to probably go order mine, just because it's kind of fun, and it does go to a worthy cause. So if you're going to spend your money, spend it wisely, and spend it on something that's going to, you know, benefit someone. Also in comic book news, now this actually, I scratched my head, and really did a what the fuck moment, because I'm stunned, but also at the same point excited about it. The Fantastic Four is going to be having a new series written by Mark Waid, which is one of my favorite writers. He has this amazing run on Flash that is probably my favorite to date. It's like right up there with Peter David's run on the Hulk. Waid has always been a huge I've been a huge fan of Waid's work, always. But even more interesting is who's going to be doing the artwork for this. The Fantastic Four Antithesis was announced as a new series that's coming up. They haven't said how long the series is going to go, but the artist that's not only going to be doing covers but interiors is none other than legend Neil Adams. And I was talking earlier, Green Lantern, of course, was my first DC character. And the only reason I got into Batman was because of Neil Adams. His artwork that I saw on Green Lantern was great. And then I found out, oh, hey, he's doing this guy in a cape and cowl. Ooh, really? So, boom, instant transition. No brainer. Neil Adams, over the years, has done some amazing work. And I know he's been mostly doing covers. So to see him not only do interiors, which I don't think he's done interiors forever, but he's also doing interiors for Marvel's first family, the Fantastic Four, which, let's face it, have kind of gotten a bum rap. The new series has been, if anything, lackluster. And I don't know if it's just because Marvel shelved Fantastic Four for so long. I mean, you just basically just kind of lost touch. You outgrew the family, is what it came down to. And I don't care. I mean, I tried, and maybe it's just because I didn't give it enough a chance or whatever, but I wasn't captivated. I didn't feel the same connection that I had felt with the Fantastic Four before. Now, with Waid behind it, who does some great writing when it comes to teams and relationships, because the relationship that he created with Wally and Iris and everything that he created has been great in the Flash series. So, oh, excuse me, Linda. Iris is Wally, not Wally, but Wally is Iris. Anyway, not Iris. Jesus. Linda and Wally. They're the couple. Fucking hell. Barry and Iris. See? Too much coffee. Makes your mind bounce around like a BB in a boxcar. Anyway, my point being, Waid does some incredible building of relationships, and he really knows how to captivate you to care about the characters. Totally get you invested. So, that alone had me at a hook. But to find out, as I read into the story even further, that not only can Neil Adams do the Fantastic Four, but he also got greenlit to bring in Galactus and the Silver Surfer. Hence, Antithesis. Evidently, this is going to be the exact opposite of what Galactus is. So something that is in direct competition with Galactus, the actual opposite, if they're doing a literal definition of antithesis for Galactus. So not only to see Neil Adams draw Galactus, but the Surfer. Oh, totally in. And Wade to write Surfer. This, I'm hooked. And I know Neil Adams has always wanted to do Fantastic Four, but has always kind of avoided it, or has had such an admiration for what Kirby and all of them did in the early years, the Fantastic Four. So to see him get a shot at it, both of them, is I can't wait. The book is scheduled now to arrive in August. Delays and whatever may happen based on what's going on around in the world may kind of have effect on this. But look for this in August. I'm sure you could probably go to your shop, local shop, and sign up for it for your pull list. But I don't think you're going to want to miss out on this one. This one will be hot. Hot! What else? Oh, book news. So, we talked about a couple weeks ago Sandman getting the animated show or live action show for Sandman. I honestly think that this is even better. News came out that they're going to be doing a I guess it's an audio reading of the Sandman. So here's how this breaks down. Basically, the Audible website and pre-orders were able to be placed starting last Wednesday. As they read the Sandman series, the original comic. So they've collected all of these celebrities to read the original Sandman comic. So the original one, like I said a few weeks ago, ran 75 issues, 89 through 96. Great story. I mean, there are some, you know, hits or misses in the middle, but it starts off like nothing you're ever going to read. Completely took everybody by storm back in 89. But now with them doing this huge Audible reading, I'm excited. Because none other than James McAvoy, he's Morpheus. I'm like blown away by this. I was just totally excited. I'm like, what? But it gets even better. Taron Egerton, almost messed his name up. Of course, you know, he's Eggsy from Kingsman, played Elton John. He's playing Constantine. I don't know why they just didn't get the Constantine actor, but I don't have a problem with Taron actually doing it, because I can see him being just as snarky. But after just getting done with Justice League Dark, there's a little bit of unfair comparison going on, but that's fine. The big, I'm curious to see how this turns out. Kat Dennings, who, Two Broke Girls fame, also was in Thor, breath or whatever, however she used to say that, is playing Death. And I'm curious how she is going to approach it, because all of her characters are always so quirky. So I don't know if, she's a great fit for Death, but I'm excited just to see how she approaches it, because these are like huge characters. And of course, James McAvoy being Morpheus, but the list continues. We're also getting Michael Sheen as Lucifer, which I'm excited. Of course, I'm sure with working with Neil Gaiman on Good Omens that he's like right away have to have him come in. And Andy Serkis, who Gollum is going to be doing Matthew the Raven. And again, can't do any wrong. Everything is going to be narrated by Neil Gaiman. So this looks like it's going to be way, way beyond anything I could have hoped. And just the first series, the first six issues alone, by everybody reading this, is going to be awesome. The first part of the audio drama, here's the details, will be debuting July 15th, and it's going to adapt the first three volumes of the series, of the graphic novels. So, Preludes and Nocturnes, The Doll's House, and Dream Country are the first three trades. So those are the ones that are being adapted. You can get a pre-order in now if you go to Audible's website. I'm sure they're probably having a huge banner run on this one. And I think this is kind of a no-brainer if you're a Neil Gaiman fan, if you're a Sandman fan. Definitely the audiobooks is the way to go, and this is a very unique set of circumstances that I think all these characters are coming together to read The Sandman. So look for July 15th if you want to wait. Maybe see if anyone does a review or if it's worth picking up. Because if you're on the bubble, I get it. If you don't do audiobooks, it's also kind of hard to sit still long enough to do this. And I know you're going to be like me. You wanna listen to yourself, listen, dedicate time, and just absorb it. But totally understand. Get your pre-order in now. I'm sure digital, it's not going to matter. I don't know if they're offering a hard copy on this or not, but if they do offer a hard copy, oh, that'd be awesome. Totally. Some exclusives. Collector's editions. God, I'm such a dork sometimes. Okay. Also in books. Oh, so we talked about this. Yeah, you and me talked about this a couple podcasts ago. The Time Lord Victorious, which was announced, and it's this huge Doctor Who series that's going to encompass so many different things, which is this huge saga that they're trying to put together that, you know, goes through the Time War and goes back to the Dark Ages, the beginning of time. They haven't said how much or where all it's going to go, but they have finally announced two novels that are available for pre-order right now. The Knight, the Fool, and the Dead, in addition to All Flesh is Grass, are the two novels that have been announced that are available for pre-order. And they're saying the release date on these novels, if you don't want to do the pre-order, is going to be in October 2020. They haven't given a specific date, so you'd have to kind of stay close. Because the one thing I've noticed about Doctor Who books is the rarity of finding them like at the first go, unless you do the pre-order. And then even sometimes that doesn't follow through. It's like the print run on them is so small. And I don't know, with them doing this huge encompassing arc that they're saying is going to cross into games, comics, and you know, a buttload of everything else. The two novels is just the start. They may produce more than they normally do. Problem is, unless you're there at the release date, I have a problem thinking that they will be on the shelf for very, very long. If you're into Doctor Who books, that is. And who isn't? Come on. What else we got? That kind of covers it for the book side. In video game news, our friends, our longtime standing relationship with Serenity Forge and the phenomenal work that Z does over there up in Boulder, they are releasing a new game tomorrow, Wednesday. Sorry, I had to get coffee. Sorry. Brain fart. The story that Serenity Forge has put together for us in this new video game called Neversong is great. This game is dark but funny, and it's bizarre. There's zombies, and the artwork on this, it really, you know what? There's so many different comparisons, and I don't want to compare it to other games just because it's so unique and plays so well. But it really does have kind of like a bendy feel. The art in it is just, and it's a side scroll. Well, I guess the majority of it is a side scroller. You do be able, you are allowed to move around in different directions, but it is for the most part a side scroller. Double A Ron and I have been playing this on Steam as a pre-release and beta test, and it is great. Aaron loves it. He's been at it, but is so worth picking up. It is available tomorrow on all platforms. The story, basically, Pete's best friend is nowhere to be found after waking up from a coma. He's investigating screams coming from the heart of Neverwood. And increasing strange behavior of zombie grown-ups and the truth about Pete's past in this haunting, dreamlike fable. And it is a fable. I mean, it is so... And I know I'm not doing it justice, because playing it once through is great. And I know I'm going to go back and play it again. It really is worth the pickup. And, of course, Serenity Forge, local game developer, and worth picking up. So if you're on the fence, you shouldn't be. Jump in. What else? There's nothing new out there. I mean, you can only play Animal Crossing for so long, and you need something to distract yourself from chirpy little noises. Because that's all I hear when I play Animal Crossing. But if you want something different, the story is deep. It's a little dark. Absolutely fantastic. Weird and hilarious all at once. So pick it up if you're just looking for something new. Again, available on all platforms tomorrow. Also in video game news, if you're a Predator Hunting Grounds fan, Arnold Schwarzenegger is going to be returning as Dutch in some new DLC content. I have not played this game, so I have no idea what's going on with this. But from what I've seen from the press release and info that I was sent, it's older Arnold from what you would expect of the, you know, Predator film franchise. But I guess it's some new stuff. And Hunting Grounds came with, I guess, a bunch of stuff at the get-go, but starting May 26, players will be able to purchase a DLC that allows gamers to play as Dutch, which, and I guess it's part of the new Fire Team members. The narration is recorded by Schwarzenegger himself, so he got back into character to reprise his role, which I think is great. I mean, we already know how much I love Arnold Schwarzenegger. Get to the bridge, the chopper is out. Or, yeah, something like that. But this is great. And I'll probably, just because now I know Schwarzenegger is coming back to do Dutch, I actually probably will pick up this game just so that I can play as Schwarzenegger. I know that's really childish. I think it's kind of funny, but, you know, how often do your idols, well, I guess it's probably more frequently now, become video games? What else? That kind of covers the world at large in the geek sphere and video games. Not a lot going on. Animal Crossing, of course, consuming a lot of everyone's time. Red Dead Redemption. There is some stuff that I will have to investigate because I haven't done it yet. That links it directly to Grand Theft Auto 5, I think. My brother was telling me about it because Red Dead Redemption 2 is now available for download, free download with Game Pass. So he's finally playing it, and I'm waiting for him to catch up so him and I can play. He tried doing online and got slaughtered, but he's working slowly but surely to get up to pace and him and I are going to ride out into the sunset. Regulators! But that I will do a review on myself as I get back into Red Dead Redemption. Because Gears... I can't take any more Gears, man. I'm geared out. It's just so intense. So much fun. But, okay, I got to take a break. I'm just spending way too much time in Gears. So we'll do something a little new, a little different. Oh, also, starting next week, there will be a new segment added to the podcast. It's something that I have been working on, and I've been kind of working on this, thinking it through, talking with, you know, some of the team, getting some ideas. A couple of friends have actually also helped me with walk through this idea, and I'm kind of excited about this because it's a little different. It's a little something outside of what I normally do on the podcast, but I think not only is it going to be entertaining, at least I hope, but it's something that I'm kind of inspired by and passionate about. Excited to kind of expand on it and see it take on a life of its own. So next week, this will be a new segment ongoing through the podcast. Hopefully you like it. If you don't, dig on it, then definitely you'll take some input on it. But it definitely a passion, a hunger, if you will, to do this. So we'll see. I'm excited. So next week, get to hear that. And if you have any other questions, please let us know. If there's something that you want our opinion on, we'll be happy to give it. Please like, share, subscribe. We're here to entertain. We're here to help alleviate your isolation, your moments of awkward geekdom, because that's what we do too. We just sit here. I just sit here anyway. And hopefully you're sitting there listening to this. It's been totally enjoyable. And yeah. Let me know what your thoughts are, because you need to run fast, laugh hard, and always, always be kind.